The last speaker this morning will be Mr. Milton Friedman.
I appreciate very much, Mr.
Colton,
most recent comments. One of the most interesting things about the field of money is that there is nothing you can say so outrageous that you don't find some example in history
to back it up.
And secondly, I want to assure him that I have no prejudice against central bankers as individuals. Indeed,
some of my best
friends are central bankers.
But
more seriously, I want to start by agreeing very strongly
with
my very good friend and esteemed fellow member
of the
Mont Pelerin Society, Professor Rueff, that the major purpose of our meeting
should be discussion
and exchange of views and controversy and not simply
prepared statements.
I hope I can contribute to at least the controversy part.
I want to start,
however, by agreeing with both professors
Henry Hazlitt.
There has been a misunderstanding.
Under a real wine standard, of course. If you had a
wine standard, the price of wine in terms of wine would be fixed.
If you had a real
gold standard, the price of gold in terms of gold would be fixed. If the dollar were a name for an amount of gold, the dollar would be a name for an amount of gold.
But it does not
follow in reverse. Because you have a fixed price
for a currency, it does not follow you have
that kind of a standard.
You could
have a fixed price of wine,
and you would not be on a wine
standard. We have
a fixed price of
wheat in the United States,
but we are not on a wheat
standard. We have a fixed price
of silver, but we are not on a silver standard. And the whole point of
my paper was to say that
it is important
to distinguish
between two things that have certain
surface similarity.
A situation in which the dollar is the name for a price of gold,
and a situation in which the price of gold in terms of dollars is fixed.
And on this point, we are in agreement.
Now, I want
to go on
very briefly, if I can,
to a number of
comments. First,
why have we not had
a change
in the price of gold?
I do not believe
at all that
the reasons are
the difficulties
which my very good friend Professor Machloup mentioned
or those
which Dr.
Hahn mentioned.
I do not think
those are the reasons we have not had a
rise in the price of gold.
I assert, without fear of successful contradiction,
that if it had happened that the major gold
producers in the world
had happened to be
Australia,
let us say,
and
France, today the price
of gold would be higher than it is now.
The failure to raise the price of gold
goes against the instincts,
against the real pressures of every central planet in my country and in other countries. The only
thing that has held it
back, and that continues to
hold it back,
is the accidental
fact that the countries
that are the biggest gold producers in the world happen to be countries
which are held in
the least esteem by these same circles. This seems to me to be
straightforward political fact, and it seems to me we ought to recognize it.
One more
statement
to differ from some opinions that have been expressed.
With respect to the problems
raised by central banks, we must not
lose proportion,
at least in the United States
and also in
Britain. The
major harm which has been done
by central banks has not been the promotion of inflation.
The major harm
which has been done by central
banks has been the production of Great Depression.
The major, I agree with
what Rueff said,
that there was no necessity for
the Depression of 29 to
33 to have taken the form
it did
or to have been transformed into
the catastrophe it was. For the United States, the major reason it was transformed into that catastrophe
was the actions of the central
bank,
of the reserve system.
And again, that is true for 2021.
I do not deny the existence of inflationary tendencies.
But central banks
have in the main, in
U.S. and Britain, done the most harm in the opposite way by producing
great depressions, out of
which the subsequent
inflationary
pressure has largely emerged. I said we had some controversy. I want also to comment
on Mr. Senholz's
comment. I thought it was an extraordinary example of the
schizophrenia of which I spoke.
His arguments had a familiar ring to me, and I
wondered when had I heard them before.
And it suddenly occurred to me I had heard them in
1950 out of the
mouths of Alvin Hansen
in
dealing with the problem of whether
the bond support
program of the reserve system should
be abandoned.
It
was said by Hansen and others
we couldn't abandon that fixed price, because if we create such
catastrophe, such chaos, such
lack of confidence in bonds, that you would have a destruction of the financial
system and the banking system
would be in chaos. I didn't believe it then, And as it turned out in the experience, it did not happen, and I do not believe it now.
I do not think it to be true
that the abandonment of the fixed price would in any way create the kind of
catastrophic situation
he describes. I believe the free market has a great deal more resiliency
and a great deal more
capacity to adjust. We may
very well. Now, finally, if I have one more minute,
I would like to
turn to what I think
is a much more important problem than any of those we have been dealing with, because it is more general and fundamental, and it was really suggested to me, and I have been thinking about it since the first
day of our conference,
occasioned by some remarks
of
Mr.
Madary Aga,
and intensified
this morning
by some remarks of Mr. Gideon's.
Mr. Madary Aga said in that
first intervention
that what really mattered was the
spirits of the people and not machinery. That democracy was a piece of machinery, and what really mattered was the spirits of the people. Mr. Gideon has really said the same thing today.
He has said
what matters isn't the machinery, it's the willingness to accept the rules of the game, the spirit of the people. I do not agree, and I do not think we all agree, if we examine it more carefully and more fully. Because our whole belief
as a society
is that machinery is of the most
extraordinary importance.
We don't think that the people of Russia are any different
in their native, innate characteristics
or tastes or beliefs or values than the people of the Western world.
I do not
believe that the different political development of France and Britain reflects solely a difference in the characteristics of the people. I think it also reflects a difference in the political machinery. And I think,
in respect
of the immediate problem of the world, the machinery is extremely important in determining what can emerge.
The fundamental difference
between the machinery that I am in favor of, the
machinery of a floating exchange rate,
and free markets for gold in each country separately.
The fundamental difference between
that machinery and the kind of machinery that is suggested
by those who would raise the price
of gold and try to go on with a fixed rate of exchange among countries
is
this, that the one
would require, as several
people have suggested, all nations together to go along the same route. It would be as strong as the weakest link.
Here is Germany.
It was behaving admirably in terms of monetary exchange. But it was forced off it. Well, by what? By the fact that it
had a rigid rate of exchange
with the other world, rest of the world, and if the rest of the world was going to thin, it could not avoid thin either. And if you have fixed rates along these lines, you then have a situation which is only as strong as its weakest link. The great virtue of the
machinery of the floating exchange
rate is precisely
that it would permit each
nation separately to pursue monetary standards. And if
many nations
did so, the rates of
exchange, while being
nominally free to change, would in fact be highly stable. Thank you.